This morning's reading comes from the Hebrew Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of a tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. Amen.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 21, verses 8 through 14. And we have heard this year already, I think when Mike Rich was preaching a few months ago. But I hope this shorter section of it, that we will hear it in maybe a new way today. This was after Jesus had been crucified and resurrected, and the disciples had been out fishing all night with no luck, and then suddenly someone on the shore appears to them and tells them to fish, to cast their net out on the other side, and their nets are full of fish to bursting. So the other disciples came in the boat behind Peter, who had jumped out of the boat when he recognized it was Jesus on the shore, and they dragged the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This is now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So our sermon this morning, continuing in our The Theology Of series, is going to be about the theology of sharing a meal, as you may have guessed. But I'm hoping it'll be a little bit more of a conversation this morning. And since we didn't have all ages together earlier on, we don't usually do that on Communion Sundays, but we do have some of our young people in worship, I wondered if you all would want to come up to the pillows up here, the cushions up here, and have a little conversation with me about a meal that is special to you. You guys want to come up? Any takers? Yeah, come on up and we'll talk about a meal you really enjoyed. Adults, you're going to have a chance to answer this too, to respond to this, so you be thinking about it as we're talking with our young people. Good morning, friends. It's good to see you.
Hi.
I have a question. I want to know about a meal that was really memorable to you. a meal that really sticks out in your mind as being special, and you can remember it like it was yesterday almost. Do you have any special meals like that that you've eaten recently or maybe a while ago, but that you remember really well?
Sushi.
Ah, what, any particular sushi meal or all of them, because you love sushi?
All of them.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. How about you, James? Do you have a special meal that you remember? No? Okay. Let me know if you think of one. What about you all? What do you think? What's a special meal that you've had that you really remember well? Hmm? You don't know? Pesto pasta. Is that a favorite meal at our house? Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I think you and Gabriel would have that every night if you could. Yeah. And Thanksgiving, you said? Yeah, so you know what's interesting about special meals is that sometimes they're special because it's really delicious food, right? Like, it's our favorite meal, we love eating it, especially if we get to go to maybe our favorite restaurant or someone in our family cooks our favorite meal, or we learn to cook our own favorite meal, right? Sometimes that's why meals are special. What could be another reason that a meal could be special, though? Like at Thanksgiving, what makes Thanksgiving special? Yeah, what do you think?
Being with people.
Being with people. Being with what kind of people?
People you love.
Oh, all right.
A babysitter sometimes.
Sometimes your favorite babysitter comes too? That's really special, isn't it? Yeah. Meals can be special because they're our favorite food, but they can also be special because they're with people that we love. Or even people that we don't know really well yet, but when we share a meal with them, we get to know them better, right? Yeah. Can you think of a time that you had maybe a new friend over and you had them over to eat a meal, or you went to their house, or you met at a playground and had a potluck or a picnic, and that somehow after having that meal and playing together, you feel like you know them a little better and you're better friends? Has that ever happened to you? Yeah? A few folks? Yeah, I see some nodding and some hands raised. Yeah. There's something really special about sharing a meal together with people, whether you know them or not, whether you love them, or whether maybe you've had an argument with them in the past, but you're trying to kind of make up and be friends again. Meals can be really special in that way, and there's a few other things that meals do too. Did you hear in our Bible passage this morning, Abraham has three visitors come, and what does he do when those visitors come? Did you guys hear that? No? He decides to make a meal for them. He makes sure that they're going to have some little cakes to eat and some meat to eat and that they're going to have some cheese and delicious things to eat. The very first thing he does to welcome them is make sure that they are fed, that they share a meal together. So you can offer hospitality. It's kind of a big word meaning welcome. A meal can offer hospitality to someone, right? It can help somebody feel better when they've been sick or when someone they love dies. Sometimes we bring a meal to share to help them know that they're not so alone and that they're loved, right? And to give them a break from cooking, right? And sometimes we invite people to share a meal as part of a celebration, like for a birthday, right? What was the meal that you had at your last birthday party? Can you remember? Oh, did you have your hand raised? Do you remember what your birth, what your meal was at your last birthday party?
I had ice cream cake with my parents on my real birthday. On my birthday party, I forget what I had.
May I take a guess? Do you think maybe it was pizza?
I have no idea.
You were too busy having fun and celebrating with your friends, right? But I think a lot of birthdays have pizza for a meal, right? Yeah, it can be a great way to celebrate. Yeah.
On my real birthday, I had cantaloupe.
And is cantaloupe one of your favorite foods? Yes, yes it is, yeah. So there's so many things that sharing a meal can do together, and a lot of times it makes us feel really kind of equal because we're all sharing food together. We all are hungry and have to take care of that need, right? And so when we all come together and there's a place for everybody at the table, it's like we're all being treated the same and being treated with respect and welcome. And that's why at times when we haven't been able to eat a meal together with everybody, like maybe during segregation in our country when people couldn't eat together based on the color of their skin and unfair rules about that, then it really felt pretty gross and pretty unhappy that we couldn't just share a meal with whoever we wanted. There's also something else that is special about eating a meal together, and that is when somebody you love cooks for you. Do you know anybody, or is there anybody in the sanctuary who loves to show their love by cooking for other people? We've got our family up here with Laura, who is being pointed at. She's raising her hand, and the other three people in the family are going, her, yep. Yeah.
My aunt's a professional chef.
Do you think that your aunt shows love by cooking for people sometimes?
Yes, she cooks really good meatballs. I don't normally like meatballs, though my aunt cooks really good. I like my aunt's meatballs.
There's something funny about that. Sometimes when you don't really like a food that much, but then someone makes it for you, sometimes it tastes even better and you actually like it, huh? Yeah.
I don't like peanut butter sandwiches, though I like them. I'm not sure why.
Maybe because your dad made them out in the woods and you were maybe really hungry and it was a really good meal for when you don't have many other options, huh? Could be. Okay, there's one more thing I want to talk about with a shared meal. What is the special meal that we eat together at church? Does anybody know?
Fake bread?
Yeah, like the bread in the little communion kits, it doesn't really taste very much like bread. Well, what is that part of? What is that fake bread part of? Do you know the name for it, anybody? It starts with a C.
Communion.
You got it, and we're gonna eat communion today. Communion is a really special meal that Jesus shared with his friends. No, we're gonna eat communion in just a little bit. Basically, when we finish talking, we're gonna go have communion, yeah. That's okay if you already ate it. I think Jesus will be okay with that. That was the last meal that Jesus had with his friends as a way to say that he loved them. And he said, keep doing this meal, even when I'm gone, keep sharing this meal with each other. Now in our tradition, you can't eat communion by yourself. Did you know that? To do communion, you need somebody else there to share it with you. We have a line in the Bible that says, where two or three people or more are together, Jesus is there with us. So that is how we share a meal. That's how we share our special meal, communion, is with each other. And communion is a special meal not because it tastes that great, right? Not because we actually fill up on it, because you can't really, if you're really hungry, if you've ever come to church really hungry and had communion, you're still pretty hungry afterwards, right? You still have to go get goodies from coffee hour, don't you? Yeah. So it's not special because it fills us up in our bellies, but it is special because it fills up our hearts and our spirits with God's love and God's presence. And it reminds us that God is always with us and always taking care of us and making sure that we have what we need. A lot of times with communion, we think too about the fact that when Jesus shared that last meal with all of his friends, one of his friends there, when Jesus would end up being arrested, one of his friends there would say, nope, I don't know who this Jesus guy is. One of his friends abandoned him. And another friend who was at that meal turned Jesus over to the people who arrested him. So he betrayed Jesus. But Jesus still said, you are all welcome at this table. Even when you mess up, even when you hurt other people, even when you hurt me, you are welcome at this table. So communion is a reminder that we are all welcomed and all loved, no matter what. And it's a chance, too, for us to think about where we might need to apologize or ask for forgiveness from somebody if we've hurt them, right? It's a good reminder when we do communion. It's a good chance to try to make our relationship right with other people so we can all share that meal together. Because that's, of course, what Jesus did. He shared meals with all sorts of people and broke down all sorts of barriers every time he shared a meal, including in communion. So there's one last thing that I want to say. Does anybody, y'all aren't going to know who this is, but do you all know who the actor Martin Sheen is? Raise your hand. Okay, yeah. Martin Sheen, who is probably best known recently on the West Wing, but who is also a very devout Catholic and a very social justice active Catholic. And he said this about communion. In an interview with Krista Tippett from the radio show On Being, he said, "One of the great mysteries that I experience when I go to church is communion, the meal we just talked about. How can we possibly consciously understand what that is? And I don't have a clue. I just stand online and say, I'm Ramon, called Martin, because his original birth name is Ramon, and I'm your friend. You're welcome here, and I'm with them. All the other people who are waiting to take communion." That is the greatest and the simplest expression of overtly trying to explain this mystery I'm talking about, because it is a mystery. Whoever the crowd is I'm getting online with, you just look at the people who are on that line, that community, and it's probably the most profound mystery in all the universe, the love that we feel and share in communion. Sometimes, he says, I'm overwhelmed just people in line waiting to embrace that sacrament. It is the most profound thing. I never ever get over it. It is just something you have to do, something you have to surrender to, and just saying, yeah, I'm with them. All these other people are lined up to share God's love. So that's what we're gonna do in just a minute, is share communion together. And even if it doesn't taste like the best bread ever baked, even if the juice is a little bit of a funky color, like you noticed this morning, right, Davion, the one that's been sitting there for a while. Even if you already ate it this morning, it is okay, because what matters is not so much how it tastes, but what it reminds us of. And that is that when we share a meal together, any kind of meal, if we're paying attention, we'll notice that God is with us, and that we can create really important relationships with each other and with God by sharing meals. So I hope whatever meal you share this weekend, maybe for a 4th of July celebration, or maybe going to see family, or maybe just popcorn in front of a movie on a movie night, or popsicles outside, I hope you remember that God is with us whenever we share a meal together. And I think we're almost descending into a sleepover over here, so thanks for being with me up here for this conversation, since we didn't get to do All Ages Together. This was kind of our All Ages Together time, right? And if you want to head back and sit with your family, we're going to get ready for communion.
You all can have a seat for just a second. I did promise I wanted to know your thoughts about meals. So for our benediction, I thought about reading the same poem we read last week about Gate 8-4 and all of the cookies that were passed around that made strangers into friends, because that is a sacrament right there, isn't it? But does anyone have a short story they'd like to share about a meal that was meaningful for them in some way, that brought God closer to them or them closer to God? Eric has bravely volunteered and raised his hand.
Well, I think every Sunday where we're across strangers or friends or people we know from church, that's a time where Jesus is close and friendly.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. Cindy's got one back here.
I shared this on Zoom chat. It's a little bit of a long story, but I was out in the Outer Hebrides with my roommate riding bikes. We were staying at a...
No,
don't know. Sorry. We were staying at a hostel with a very grumpy hostel warden. So the except for some potatoes and a little bit of butter. And he said, there's fish in the pot. And he walked away. And the fish was chunks of fresh salmon that get caught on the Outer Hebrides. And we suddenly had a feast. And then we sat down with Finley, that was his name, and he brought out the whiskey. And we're not supposed to have whiskey in hostels, but he did. And we had a feast that all of the people staying at the hostel who are secretly whiskey drinkers brought us into. And it was, we really felt loved and appreciated.
Thank you for sharing that. That is a meal out of nothing, right? When people decide to share what it is that they have. Here's Dan to share something.
Yeah, I'll just share. I can remember this is after actually Maya's birth, and it was, I won't go into the details, but it was a very challenging and somewhat harrowing experience that involved for my wife not eating for several days. And I will never forget that first meal at the hospital, which was hospital food, but definitely felt like a feast. And at the same time, we were feeding Maya from a syringe for the first times. And I'll just never forget that.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Anyone else? All right. I think I'm giving Tim, our Zoom coordinator, a run for his money back here while I'm walking around and being hard to get on the camera here. Let us go, friends, into the rest of our week and into this world, strengthened by the sustenance of these meals where we sit across from friends and from strangers at church and become the family, the body of Christ, where we think we have almost nothing to subsist on, and yet somehow a feast is created before us through our willingness to share with one another, where we are surprised in moments of stress and of strain and of harrowing experience by getting to finally have that sustenance and share that meal together. Be carried through by that strength, friends, because there is a lot that is hard these days, but a shared meal reminds us that there is a lot that is good these days as well. Go in peace.